Lots of things go better together. Hockey, food, golf, peanut butter and jelly, Gojo and Golic, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. What? But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations, forgotten. The history,
Vegas Golden Knights.
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Lead over the Sixers last night with a 97-92 win in Philly. However, if you were watching, you might have guessed it was in New York because there were so many darn Knicks fans, and Joel Embiid was not happy about that.
Disappointed. I love our fans. Think it's unfortunate, and I'm not calling them out, but it is disappointing. Obviously, you got a lot of Knicks fans, and they're down the road, and never seen it, and I've been here for 10 years. Kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. So, they've always shown up, and I don't think that should happen. It's not okay.
Well, it's also not okay to let Jalen Brunson score almost 50 points on you and put your team on the brink of elimination, but, whatever. Senior, is this fair for him to say? Is it the fans' fault at this point? And I'll actually say, I got heated when I was in college. I said the same thing. I asked Boeheim a question about the fact that the team lost. The team didn't play well, and he blamed it on the fans. And so I wrote about it, and I put that out there, and there was a quote. And Boeheim got so mad that I put out the words that he said. I'm like, you can't blame the fans. Your team is the one that lost the game. It is not the fans' fault. Am I wrong for that, Senior?
No, you're right for that. You can't do it. I mean, if you want, you lost the game. So the first thing y'all need to do is look in the mirror, whether you played a great game or had a big game or not. As a team, you lost. To sit there and say anything, that's all I would say. And listen, as Mike said, I played most of my career there. I heard plenty of boos from fans out there when we would lose. And my response had always, because that gets asked in Philadelphia. Believe me, when you get booed I didn't have many situations where it got loud. Now, the Giants did send a lot of fans down there when we would play them. And there were actually more fights in the stands than were on the field when we played the Giants. We were safer on the field. But never got louder by an opposing team like we see sometimes in the NFL and sometimes in Vegas or sometimes out in California. So that was an odd thing. But when you lose, Claudia, you're right. When you lose, you can't do it. You can't do it. If you're asked a question about the fans, you just got to say, listen, bottom line is we lost. So that's what we have to fix. Now, if you win a game, a close game, and your opponent's fans were cheering louder than your fans, but you won, maybe you get to say something then. But if you lose, Mike, you can't do it. It just sounds bad. Even though you don't like to hear it and you shouldn't hear it, but fans are allowed to do what they're allowed to do. And the Knicks fans showed up. So give them credit.
I was going to say, he's right, but you're never going to win against the mob. Like, that's the reality of the situation. Is it is embarrassing for a sports city like Philadelphia to have the Knicks completely overrun their arena in this way. Hell, as Notre Dame fans, we've got some familiarity with this. We've seen Nebraska come in and fill our stadium with red. Yep. Georgia did it when they made the trip up there. It is embarrassing, and you hate to see that from a fan or a player's perspective. But there was going to be no win. And the crazy part with me here is, Dad, this to me is a sign of how exhausted Joel Embiid is, because usually he has been the athlete that's understood how to be the Philly athlete better than most, meaning he understands the dynamic of the fan base. He understands usually the right things to say in these moments, but much like on the court, Dad, because the issue that you're seeing with Philadelphia is twofold. Is one, their bench gave him nothing. And we said that home games, you're supposed to be able to count on your bench. And the fact that Trey McBride doubled up the Philadelphia bench production by himself, not a great sign, not great, Bob. But the other part is, late in this game, Joel Embiid goes out in this game and has 27 points. And for the most part, was someone they could count on through the middle stretch of this game. But once again, the player whose conditioning is still ramping up, coming back from a lower body injury late in the season, looked gassed down the stretch. And when they decided not to take him out at all in the fourth quarter and just ride with him out there, you saw a 76ers team with an identity crisis. Because Joel was standing in the corner trying to catch his breath, and the rest of this team did not know how to function down the stretch. So when the Sixers came down on offense, everyone was looking for somebody else to make a play towards the end of that game. When the Knicks went down, even when Jalen Brunson, who passed Bernard King for the most points in a single postseason game in Knicks franchise history, down the stretch, even when he slowed down a little bit by the standard of the rest of his game, the Knicks still knew, hey, we're going to get the ball to him and something good's going to happen. We know who the adult in the room is on offense each and every possession for us, and it was Jalen Brunson. On the defensive end, Josh Hart selling out despite playing with five fouls, monster block down the stretch of this game. Really important performer for them. This Knicks team understands firmly their identity, and the 76ers outfit playing across from them looked lost in the back half of that game.
Yeah, you mentioned Hart, 17 rebounds in this one. Just 4 points, but he's for the defensive end. They only had three players in double digits, with Brunson leading the way, as you mentioned, with the record for the Knicks at 47. And you're right. You look at the two players who played, for New York, they had a few over 44. Brunson played 44 minutes. That's third most for the Knicks. Embiid played the most out of the 76ers. The man who is in probably the least amount of shape because of the injury played a minute more than Tyrese Maxey in this one. And you could tell. He just gets grind down. I mean, I get it. It's understandable. A guy that big coming off a lower body injury, I know it's been a while, but to be counted on and not taken out, not being able to give a rest and playing 40 minutes, you can't sustain that. And they're not sustaining that. They're gonna lose this series most likely, and then you have to go back to the drawing board and say, what are we going to do here? Because the first thing we have to do is cross our fingers that Joel Embiid can make it through the season and not get hurt once you start getting some lower body injuries, because even before he got hurt, he was right there for the MVP again. I mean, he's one of the baddest guys in the league, and I say baddest, I mean goodest. As we know, he is one of the best, but you got to worry about the big man injuries. Yes, I know, Claudia, goodest is not a word.
No, it's just funny to hear it. Let me ask
bad
you this.
Bad meaning bad, not bad meaning good.
Let me ask you this. Tomorrow, Knicks, 4-point favorites at home against the Sixers. You got to lay four, right? Come on.
Have to. Madison Square Garden is going to be an absolute madhouse. Yeah. The other thing that this underlies, we talked about this from the Philly fan perspective, it's kind of cool to see the Knicks back. They have no idea how to act right now either. Just an absolute wild show of energy everywhere. But this is what this city has been crying out for years, Dad. We know they want to be a basketball town. And now they've actually got a team and a leader in Jalen Brunson, who is the steal of the league. Like the Dallas Mavericks have to, I mean, understandably, working with Luka and the performance that Kyrie put on last night, they're certainly not lacking for offense. But, man, to let Jalen Brunson walk out the door, for the Knicks to get him for a comparative steal now, and to watch him become sort of what Jimmy Butler was to the Miami Heat. But we knew Jimmy Butler as a commodity going into that. We maybe just didn't believe that he could build it in Miami the way he has over the last run of years. Jalen Brunson has been that for this New York Knicks team that had a strong foundation but now has a clear leader and someone they can count on in all these big moments. And so, MSG is going to be an absolute zoo, and I don't think there's any way they let the Sixers walk out of there with the win.
Yeah, I don't either. They've been relatively close games. They've been physical games as well. So this is a game on the side for the Knicks is, You want to get this one done. You know, you're going to win the series. What you don't want to do is have to play any extra games and possibly get somebody hurt. And the other is quickly take the wind out of the sails, right? This is, and it's not just Knicks 76ers. This is team A, team B, when a team's getting ready to knock somebody out on a gentleman's sweep, is get that big lead. Take the wind out of their sails. Let them start thinking about their vacation time. These games have been tight games. This is the one where and so we would expect the same, but this is one where the Knicks would love to just jump out and try and knock them down and say, listen, you ain't coming back from it.
And I understand the easy retort from some people might be, hey, Jalen Brunson just had an all-time playoff performance. Like, surely we can't count on that each and every night. But you look around, the other players in doubles digits were Trey McBride, who's had a good series for them and obviously has the arrow going up, OG Anunoby. But then you look around, Isaiah Hartenstein had a bunch of foul trouble in this game. They had to finish with Precious Achiuwa getting minutes. I mean, he hasn't been someone that Tibbs has enjoyed playing the majority of this season. And now he got in there because you already had the injury to Mitchell Robinson's ankle as a holdover from the last game. You mentioned Josh Hart also just 4 points in this game, certainly made the impact defensively because that's a mature player who understands how to do that. But all this is to say, it's not like it was a banner night from the supporting cast that helped this out. And so now they go back home to the friendly confines there, and it seems like this one is over, and then we'll get to do the postmortem where we do start to ask more questions, Dad, about what goes on with the 76ers and how you create some relief for Joel Embiid while still working with him as your centerpiece, if that's possible for you going forward. As we look back at the weekend that was also, Claudia, it's time for us to take a look at the NFL draft and start first and foremost with our pool results. Thank you to everybody who followed the Gojo and Gola Twitter account and entered into our NFL draft pool on the DraftKings Sportsbook. What do we have in terms of results there?
Well, first of all, the amount of entries. So, yes, doubling down on that, thank you, 37,381 entry, 66 people were perfect. 13 for 13. Wow. So they're going to split the $1,000 bet. So, bonus bet, I should say. Some correct answers. The over under 9.5 offensive linemen was the line. Went under. They got that right. 5.5 quarterbacks. They went over. Only 34% of entries, though, got that correct. They went over with 6. Notre Dame's running back, Audric Estime, to go over under draft position, 100 in the hook, so 101. He went 147th. 42% of folks got that right. So great job. That's very impressive how many entries. Even more impressive, though, that 66 of you were perfect. Speaking of winners, let's do a little draft superlatives. I want to know both sides of it, because I think both sides are fun to hate on teams a little bit. So let's start with the winners, though. Gojo, who would you say won the draft? I have to say, how could you go anywhere other than Chicago in round one? But I'm curious where you go with this one.
Yeah, listen, round one certainly defines a lot of it. And for Chicago, they only had 5 picks in the draft overall. So that was going to be the lion's share of it. They did draft one of the interesting guys we'll talk about in small school players in just a little bit, an offensive lineman coming out of Yale that's got a tremendous amount of promise there. They also brought in Torrey Taylor, as we mentioned. But, Dad, the Chicago Bears reset the foundation of their organization, I think, much in the same way that the Houston Texans did last year. We know that's going to be the easy and apt comparison for a lot of people. But Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze walking into an offense that already seemed like it was making steps forward seems like it's hard to go away from them. I'd say maybe outside of that, the Arizona Cardinals do have a lot to be excited about. Yeah. There's much more of a volume play in terms of going out and adding to their treasure trove in the draft as well. So I would say them, and maybe then throw in the Los Angeles Rams too, just a team that's got so much to be excited about on defense. We mentioned for them, you also bring in now Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, Blake Corum fits in perfectly in that backfield with Kyren Williams. They add a bunch of depth later in that round. Bo Limmer out of Arkansas, incredibly strong offensive lineman for some depth on the interior. Jordan Whittington, the wide receiver out of Texas, who in the sea of those great players, A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy, was the possession receiver you could count on a lot there. I think that there's a bunch to like about the draft for a Rams team that's going to be a really tough out this year.
Yeah, I agree. And you mentioned, obviously, Chicago, Arizona as well. You mentioned Marvin Harrison Jr., Darius Robinson. They get the defensive lineman from Missouri. They got Trey Benson as well with pick 66, the fast running back from Florida State. I also think a team like Philadelphia, I think, did pretty well for themselves as well, getting Quinyon Mitchell. We're surprised A, that defensive players went in the middle of the draft, and then these cornerbacks didn't go till the 20. So they take care of that those positions between him and Cooper DeJean from Iowa in the second round. I like what they did. So I think that was a step in the right direction for them. But the other ones you mentioned are basically who everybody thinks are the winners in this draft. And it's the difficult part is you're basically going off of, unless you really are diving in and know college football, you're really talking about when people look at this, the first couple of picks, because that's the names they know, right? Unlike, you know, the people who are supposed to follow this, like you know a lot of the guys, you covered a lot of the guys. For the rest of it in the draft, it's a wait and see, right? It's certainly a wait and see for the top guys anyway, because we've seen players bust out at the top. But guy, for fans of teams that see the third through seventh round and some of the free agents, they're not going to know the names. That's where these drafts are going to be made. How do these guys contribute over the years? So that's always the fun thing to wait and see. And we never know. You can give a grade for the draft, but the real grade is going to be in a few years to see how many of these teams hit with these draft picks, especially the ones that you may have to pay big bucks to down the line.
All right, let's forecast a little more immediately then, and then look at our way too early offensive and defensive rookie of the year picks here. Now, those markets are up on DraftKings Sportsbook. Offensive rookie of the year, Caleb Williams, obviously not surprising to many people, the front runner at this at plus 200, followed by Marvin Harrison Jr. at plus 600, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Malik Nabers, Drake May, on and on down the list there, Dad. So if I'm asking you to pick right now, it seems to be kind of divided into two camps. It's either the receivers or the quarterbacks that you want to hang your hat on. I'll give you a position group to start off with. Which position group does the offensive rookie of the year come from?
Wide receiver. Especially with those three top guys, Harrison Jr., Nabers, and then obviously Aroma Dunze, who's going to be getting the ball thrown to him by Caleb Williams. You know, I think they're both obviously big-time candidates for rookie of the year. But I will choose the receiving core. How about you?
I would say the receiving core too, just because I think Caleb Williams is probably going to be the only quarterback in a position to really have an offensive rookie of the year kind of season with the team. Washington still has a lot of holes in that roster they need to plug. The Patriots are certainly a ways away from, I think, being competitive, especially in that division. So I would say that I think Marvin Harrison Jr. and Kyler Murray have a chance to make a really special connection out in the Valley of the Sun. I'm excited to watch that one a lot. Defensive rookie of the year, Dad, sort of the same problem of, hey, is it going to be D-line or cornerback right now? On DraftKings Sportsbook, Dallas Turner, the favorite at plus 400 with the Minnesota Vikings, followed by Leatu Latu out of UCLA, and then Quinyon Mitchell, Jared Verse, Chop Robinson, Terrion Arnold all the way down at sixth best odds at plus 1300 tied with Chop Robinson and Byron Murphy. So what would you go, Dad, D-line or cornerback for this one?
I'm going to go cornerback, and this is an award that's going to be based on stats, right? I mean, that's what you do. The D-line, because you're looking for the sacks, and then the cornerbacks, you're looking for the interceptions. So we saw a nice grouping of cornerbacks last year, not as deep this year, especially early on. As we said, the top two went in the 20s, but I'm still going to lean toward that cornerback position.
I think I might go D-line. Just something about Latu especially, just coming in so pro ready to like hit the ground running on a defense that's got other guys up front that you can count on there. I ultimately think he's a guy that's just such a complete rusher right now. I'll give him the nod and thus the D-lineman the nod, which leads us to our most important category here, Dad. Best cut of beef from the draft here. And I would say shame on us at DraftKings Sportsbook for taking so far down in the offensive rookie of the year odds to get to the offensive lineman. The first offensive lineman, by the way, listed with odds for rookie of the year is Amarius Mims, the offensive tackle out of Georgia, who went to the Cincinnati Bengals, listed at plus 30,000 in this draft. So, Dad, did you have a favorite offensive or defensive lineman from this draft that you were really excited to see come off the board, especially with the fit of the team they went to?
Well, I mean, I'm excited to see what Latu does. He was the first edge rusher to come off the board. The top guys, him and Turner, to see what they're going to do, because they're going to get their opportunities. Again, it's a position where you can start out. You don't have to be on the field for 70 plays, and they're not going to be. You know, as an edge rusher, you can start out by going in and passing situations. You can move around. You can try some things and then work in and play play more time. Offensive linemen, most of the offensive line you mentioned, these are plug-and-play guys. This is a position just like quarterback. These offensive linemen, they get plucked in and they don't move. They're there for 70, 80 plays or whatever you're going to run. And obviously, I love Joe Alt going to the Chargers. But I'll tell you what, there's a kid that went 51 overall, Mike. You should love him. The center from West Virginia, Zach Frazier, is going to – so Pittsburgh got two linemen who they're going to plug and play. It actually picked up three linemen in the draft. But I like Frazier, the kid from West Virginia. You talk about picking for kind of the team you play for and what the personality of the team is. That's kind of Frazier. He's kind of that – and, oh, by the way, if I remember correctly, state champion, not once, not twice, not three times, but I believe four times in West Virginia high school wrestling. So that's pretty, as you know, I like the wrestler, so that's pretty impressive to me.
Yeah, no, I figured that guy was going to be high on your board there. I would say that Mason McCormick, probably the most fun highlight reel to watch out of South Dakota State, an absolute human dump truck there. It does sort of, I think, kill my dream of Troy Fautanu getting kicked inside to play center, where I believe that he would basically be Marquise Pouncey reincarnate. But that's fine. We can let that dream die for another day, as beef certainly on the menu there. I actually, defensive side of the ball, I'm fascinated by the Byron Murphy to Seattle pick still. I think that's talk about some of the later round guys as the season goes along. But he just fits the perfect archetype of what that interior defensive lineman and Mike McDonald's defense is supposed to be. His tape was some of my favorite to watch in the lead up to the draft, and now he gets to help kind of reset what Seattle's building on defense with that new regime. Coming up next, though, plenty of other news and notes from around the NFL as we got through draft weekend. We'll check in with the NFL's Ian Rappaport next. Growing up playing sports, I learned really quickly that how you do the little things is how you're going to do everything. That's why coaches always harped on us about having our hand behind the line on sprints or picking up our locker, because that was going to directly translate to critical moments on the field, making sure we're lined up right, taking the right steps so we can go out there and execute and win ball games. Small actions can have big benefits, just like how taking care of your gut can support your entire body's health. That's where our friends at Seed come into play. Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic is going to benefit your gut, skin, and heart health in just two little capsules a day. I just got my welcome kit and started taking Seed's DSO1 myself, and I'm loving it. I love the convenience of being able to have it in the cabinet with my other supplements because you don't need to worry about refrigerating it, and I love the free travel vial that comes along with it. I'm constantly on the road, and so being able to take DSO1 with me on the go is huge for my lifestyle here. I'll tell you what else I love is the fact that it's backed by science. DSO1 was developed in collaboration with Seed's scientific board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. And with new clinical trials and breakthrough research published in top scientific journals, Seed's probiotic research, development, and innovation programs make DSO1 a product you can trust. And it's great with convenience, too. Probiotics and prebiotics work best when they're used consistently, just like any other routine health habit. And Seed's subscription service is going to easily help build DSO1 into your routine, again, with no refrigeration required. So, trust your gut with Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/gojo and use code 25GOJO to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/gojo, code 25GOJO. Back to Gojo and Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Mike Golic Sr., and Claudia Bellafato. And for more of the news and notes around the NFL coming off of one of the biggest weekends of the sport, we're excited to welcome in NFL Network broadcaster and insider Ian Rappaport here on behalf of a very cool program that we can't wait to hear about, Wait Until 8th, that we certainly want to hear all about from you, Ian, in addition to the NFL news and notes. But we also know you're in a parking lot outside of your old high school right now. Explain to us what's going on here, and you also have a special gift that you're excited to show the class.
So I went to Hackley School in Westchester, New York, great private school, and they had me come back and talk to the school newspaper just to, you know, give a little talk about my career and how do you do it and tell some stories and give some advice and actually like really enjoy this kind of thing. So I was happy to be able to do it. And you know, work has gotten a little calmer. I mean, this morning was crazy with the Zeke news, but work has gotten a little calmer. So it's a good window to do it. So Yeah, 8:10 to 9:10, and I'm in the parking lot now. They gave me a nice tie. It's actually Vineyard Vines tie with the H for Hackley and the Hornet on it. So it's actually a very lovely gift.
Holy smokes. That's nice.
Yeah, you guys are pretty jealous of that one, I bet.
I was going to say, Vineyard Vines, they didn't skimp on the gift there. I wasn't sure, you know, high school kids, you're usually buying from like Joseph A. Bank or something. You're balling on a budget. So they knew you were coming in town and they made sure that you were ready to go here. And I'd imagine that was a nice salve coming off of draft weekend where everything is fast and flying. You did mention, though, the Zeke Elliott news comes out this morning, heading back to Dallas with the Cowboys. How much do you think that informed the entire draft for the Cowboys where everyone was so stunned? Hey, they talk about Jonathan Brooks. They mention this love for the running back and ultimately walk out without one.
Well, so many things there. First of all, you know, I got the sense probably 3 days ago that this deal was getting done. I mean, Zeke meets with them in person on Wednesday and I'm like, and then I talked to his agent, I talked to Zeke and the feeling was pretty positive. And I'm like, all right, like, the deal wasn't done, but like, this is probably happening. And I kept thinking, like, I wonder if they're going to just try to get through the draft. And then Jerry Jones goes out and talks about, you know, his love for Jonathan Brooks. And I'm like, you know, nothing in the draft is by accident. I think everyone thinks, oh, there's Jerry again. Like, Jerry's unbelievably smart. My guess is he probably knew. He probably knew that they were signing Zeke. He probably knew that they weren't going to be able to take a running back because I don't even think – I think where they were picking, they would have missed the first couple anyway. So I think in his mind, it was like, let people know we're interested. Let someone else come up and get them and let other good players fall to us. And then we'll sign Zeke after the draft. And I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. I mean, so now it's Zeke, Rico Dowdle and Deuce Vaughn in the backfield at Dallas. So I don't know if that's the trio that's going to be able to sustain through the year. Time will tell. We will see. I know we just had the draft, but current players as well. How much is it up in the air still, Ian, about the not one but two receivers in San Francisco with Ayuk and Deebo Samuel as far as the odds of both of them actually being on that roster when the season starts?
Well, let's get to Deebo first because I think a lot of people were like, oh, well, obviously, you know, Deebo's not going anywhere. And then I think there was a report that they told him he's not going to be traded, but then teams are still calling. So I have a hard time imagining that the 49ers trade Deebo before the season. Like anything's possible. And maybe he, you know, gets real mad and you know, wants to get traded. But like they've done this before. He requested a trade before and they ended up giving him a new contract. He's kind of the engine that makes that go on offense. I don't think they want to trade him. And I'll tell you this, if they do trade him, let's say it would be for like a third rounder next year. Like, are they going to wait a whole year to get any return on giving up their best offensive player? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Now, maybe if they get another player in return they could use, maybe, but like, why would not just keep your own player? So my sense now is Deebo probably stays. I think with Ayuk, I think they'd like to get a deal done. There's always angst before a deal happens. There's always frustration. It's never quite what you want. And that market, receiver market changed so quickly because, I mean, honestly, even last week, you're like, all right, like if you really think about it, you could sort of make the argument that, you know, good receivers make, you know, $22, $23 million. Like that's what Stephon Diggs is making. That's what Davante Adams is making, you know, all that. And then Devontae Smith gets done at 25. Amon-Ra St. Brown gets done at about 28 over the first 3 years. Like that's the market. That's the market. So now the market has shifted. Hopefully make it a little easier for the 49ers to get a deal done.
So maybe easier for the 49ers. I don't know how easy it's going to be for the Minnesota Vikings and Justin Jefferson, who seems like he's getting ready to smash all of those numbers. Where are they at right now with this? Ian, it's been a weird offseason for them. You let Kirk Cousins walk out the door, which I'm sure didn't make Justin Jefferson the happiest. They draft J.J. McCarthy now. So where are they at with their star wide receiver in this?
You know, I think they're trying to get something done. Look, it's going to be a lot. Like whatever it is, we can talk about all the different numbers. It's going to be a lot. There is a possibility, and look, he is a special player, so we can talk about him as a receiver, but I kind of wonder if it makes more sense to talk about him as an awesome player. Like, he makes whatever, you know, highest paid non-quarterback would probably be something he's shooting for, right? Like that's, I believe now that's Nick Bosa, if I remember correctly. That's a lot of money, but he's so good that like, you could literally tell me any price. It's like, it's always going to be a bargain because he's so good. So, you know, get a deal done, pay him extremely high, you know, move on and just say, you know what? We have a rookie quarterback and we can make this work, because that's the only way you really make those super mega contracts work, is if you have a rookie quarterback who's on a rookie deal.
What a happy rookie quarterback he's got to be. He's got Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson, nice receivers helps, yes, to throw to. It's a pretty cool thing. Just to, Ian, as a pretty cool thing is what you're doing with something called Wait Until Eighth. Tell us about that. This is really intriguing.
Yeah, it's you know, it's something that is, I think, pretty important to me, pretty important to my family, and something that is picking up steam locally for me, and I hope nationally, right? I mean, the idea is Wait Until Eighth is essentially delaying the use of smartphones for kids in junior high, middle school, right? Because I think what you look, my kids have Apple Watches. It helps us keep track of them. And, you know, if they go bike riding with their friends, it makes sure we don't get a heart attack. To me, that's different. Having a phone with no social media, you know, to me is okay. It's the use, it's the social media, it's the online aggression, hate, all the bad stuff. I mean, look, I live my life on my phone, and some of the stuff I see should not be seen for kids in sixth grade, seventh grade. I mean, it shouldn't be. There's a lot of social media that's not good, and I see it all. And so I feel like I'm the right person to hopefully take a stance and stand up and be like, as long as you can delay for your children, you know, the use of smartphones, there's a pledge you can sign. It's a movement that is, I think, really growing, and I think important, because, you know, we all have to grow into everything. And to me, it's just, you know, social media apps, like, it's just, there's a point when it's just too young. And I think delaying it as long as possible is probably good for everyone.
Yeah, I think we came up in a generation where we all kind of learned on the fly. Now we've got the benefit of time, seeing the effect all this can have, and hopefully can make better decisions like this going forward in the relationship that young people have with social media. Ian mentioned the pledge and where you can find out more information. That's waituntil8th.org. That's waituntil8th.org. Where you can check all that out there. Ian, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time coming off a busy weekend here. Are you going to be wearing the tie? Can the kids at your high school expect your next NFL Network hit to be featuring the tie they gave you as a gift?
Actually, yes. And that's one of the great things. Like, if anyone wants to get me a tie, which people should, ties are great. I always throw them on. So I'm always having them on the network. It's a great way to show off a new gift. I have some good yellows, but this adds to my excellent crop of yellow ties.
All right, nice. There we go. They can feel good about this one coming to a TV screen near them. Ian, thanks so much, man. Have a good one.
All right, thanks guys. Man. Appreciate it.
Dad, he threw that offer out there, and I'm sure somewhere Jim Nantz is salivating thinking about giving somebody else a tie yet again in a situation where they'd actually wear it after the fact. We're this close to crowning an NBA champion. And with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings? Well, listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code GOJO. That's code GOJO for new customers to get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500 if your first bet doesn't hit. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario, one no sweat bet per new customer, issued as one bonus bet based on amount of initial losing bet. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility, wagering, and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
We're back to talk more hoops. The Thunder rolled to a 3-0 series lead over the weekend over the Pelicans, who are still without Zion Williamson. 106-85 was the final. Inside the NBA is one of the best shows, I think, of all time, we can all say, in sports, always entertaining. Charles Barkley had one of his better roasts of the Pelicans and the city of Galveston, Texas.
Disappointing owners. Where they going, Chuck?
Galveston. That dirty ass water. We're not even gonna sit in the Cancun. We're gonna sit in the Galveston with that dirty ass water be washed up on the shore. You people think they're in the beach. Y'all gonna send y'all to Cancun. Y'all drive y'all ass. Y'all quit. Drive your ass down to Galveston. Come on, man.
So they're not taking a little.
Come on, they didn't even try, man. No, we're not getting them no plane ticket to the beach. We send their ass to Galveston, Texas, right where that dirty water washed up on the beach. They can't even get in the water. Come on, man.
Shaq's reaction just makes it 10 times better.
I was going to say, when Shaq and Chuck are aligned and not at each other's throats, where Shaq's reminding Charles that he never won a championship, that's when you know the magic's happening. And, Dad, you've worked in television the longest of anyone here, and so you know exactly how this went, because you saw Shaq was smiling ear to ear at the start of this segment, because clearly they mentioned this during the break, and Shaq knew good and damn well, I know how to get Charles here. I just need to walk him right up to the door, and he'll walk through and do the rest. And now Galveston joined San Antonio, that caught a stray when they brought this up again, as one of the cities that Charles is probably going to have a hard time visiting from here on out.
Yeah, Chuck doesn't even have to go through a door. The door is already open for him, and he just walks right in. So who should feel worse, the city of Galveston or the women of San Antonio? Because they are the ones who take the direct shots from Charles. But Mike, did you see Barkley kind of walked it back a little bit, because you got to be careful who you tick off, right? And Beyonce's mom, Tina Knowles, is from Galveston, and she got sent that clip from her son-in-law, a guy named Jay-Z, and not too happy about it. And so Chuck is smart enough to not mess with the Beehive. So he kind of backed off on that a little bit, didn't he?
I mean, he kind of did, and then immediately launched back into, they're like, oh, so would you go down to Galveston? And he said, hell no. And that's what he said. I would rather go back to the Riverwalk and hang in San Antonio, and went through that whole diatribe about the big old women. So I don't know if he really walked it. He tried to walk it back as much as Charles can, but then that man's unrelenting desire to just say whatever the hell he wants, because he's been handsomely paid to do so, took over again. So, and honestly, I tweeting about this, as the rest of us were, because it was hilarious. And Shaq, when you hear the off-camera laughter, like when the producers in studio and the camera ops get caught on the mic, that's when you know you hit the magic, and that one happened here. But, Dad, I even the people that I was tweeting with from Galveston or had familiarity with Galveston are like, well, he's not wrong. So this seems to be a little bit more. I don't have any experience with Galveston. I don't know if your time in the Texans, you ever made, or the Oilers, excuse me, you ever made your way down to Galveston, but I have no familiarity with this place.
I have none either. And listen, Charles is one of the very, very few who can just basically get away with saying whatever, right? It's just, as they say, it's just Chuck being Chuck. And you're right. There's no doubt that was discussed. And all Shaq had to do was walk over to the tee and set the baseball on the tee. And that was going to happen, because he just, Chuck needs to be set up, and then he takes care of the rest. It is gold. It is, that show is gold. Absolutely. If you're looking for unbelievable X's and O breakdown all the time and straight basketball, which they do some of, you're on the wrong spot. You know, you're getting some basketball and you're getting entertained. And that's the world, man. And that is the show. And there has been nothing like it for a while.
It's why I love seeing like Candace Parker mixed in the Tuesday crew, like her and Adam Lefko in there trying to be the straight man. Even Vince Carter here, who is filling in for Kenny the Jet Smith. Yeah. is sitting there, and he's the one that had done the video board segments. Then he's sitting there trying to kind of like figure out where to go, while Ernie and the rest of them are just coasting and letting Chuck do his thing. I'd imagine that's how Claudia has to feel around here most days, as me and Dad are just mucking around through the slop, and she's trying to help us do a coherent sports show here. So, Claudia, why don't you help us out and be the voice of reason in here as we get to some teams on the brink of elimination in the NBA playoffs?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know anything about Galveston, but what I do know is the Thunder are making serious statements here. 32 was the win margin in game two, 21 in game three, held the Pelicans to 92 or fewer points in all three games. So that leads us to cash it or trash it, because I just have to know if anybody can come back from these series being down. Cash it or trash it, presented by DraftKings. Stay tuned to hear everything DraftKings has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours. So like I said, Pelicans, Thunder, we have Lakers, Nuggets, Sixers, Knicks, Bucks, Pacers, all of them on the brink of elimination. If you had to pick one team to cash to turn things around, Gojo, who would it be?
Oh, God.
Jeez.
I mean.
It's tough.
I guess technically I would technically the right answer would be the 76ers, just because they've at least got their star on the court. Like the Pelicans, all the scores you mentioned, once Zion has been, you know, once Zion got knocked out of the playoffs here, that became an uphill battle. For the Bucks, we don't know. Giannis Antetokounmpo and his health, what the future's looking like this series. Dame Lillard also missed the other night, I believe, with an Achilles strain, which doesn't sound great. So I don't know what to count on from the Bucks. The Lakers are going up against the best team in the sport right now, in the Denver Nuggets. And so that just leads the process of elimination, I would say, the Sixers. But even that, I don't feel great about any of these teams being able to stave it off, Dad.
I don't feel great about any of them either. I mean, especially Pelicans, Thunder. I mean, the first game was close, a two-point game, and then two blowouts in this one. No way for the Lakers. Sixers, they have been games. I would probably say that, because with Milwaukee, Mike, I have no idea. I mean, Giannis has been out, and now Dame's been out. I have no idea who's going to be able to play. That game was actually closer than I thought it was going to be without those two in there. So I would actually give the Bucks a little bit of credit for that. But I'd probably lean towards Sixers as well.
I will say, of these four matchups, the Bucks actually have the shortest line, so they're only 3.5-point underdogs. So I don't know if that says maybe Dame will be healthy and he is playing. It's tomorrow, so we'll have to wait and see. Does that change your mind at all, Gojo? Well, senior?
No. Let me just say, I don't think any of these are coming back, but you asked which would be the best to have a chance. I would still say the Sixers, unless Milwaukee all of a sudden does get healthy, but I don't think any of these teams are coming back from their deficits now, Mike.
Trashing them all.
Yeah, I would say that too. And like, you know, for the Pacers part of this, I think also if you were going to look at that series would be maybe the Pacers. We don't look at them as the best team of that bunch of names that we just brought out here. Again, the Denver Nuggets, the best team in basketball right now. You look at what we've seen from the New York Knicks and Jalen Brunson, even with the guys that we know aren't playing for them in this postseason run here. And, you know, Indiana got an incredible Miles Turner performance out of this last game. They shot the lights out of the gym, too. That was the other thing. That game was a lot closer for a long time than it should have been, considering the Pacers shot 51% from beyond the arc and 51% from the field in this game, made 22 threes. They were lights out, and that was, to be clear, I get it. That was the offense that we saw the majority of the season for them, slowed down a little bit late in the season and in the postseason. We weren't sure how that was necessarily going to carry over, and a lot of that does go to the fact, too. Hey, yeah, the closeouts aren't going to be as good. Everything's going to struggle a little bit when all of a sudden you're down Giannis, Dame, and the usual guys in this rotation and have to go a little bit deeper into your bench, Dad.
The game tonight, and Claudia, I'll go to you, the Boston Celtics fan. I mean, what if the Heat pulls off another one down in Miami and they even this thing up at 2-2? How nervous are you going to be if that happens?
I will say, I'm not. It's not going to happen. And knock on all the wood. I think we let them have one. That was fine. They shot over 53% from the three. That's not going to happen again. Yeah. I gave Spo the pep talk. Like, I did that for them so they could get one. No, this line being 10.5 is right. I will say I've been betting the Celtics team total consistently throughout each game instead of laying these big points, which is something I like to do in basketball. The books somehow get it spot on, okay? So game two, line was 111.5, made it by the hook. 106 in the hook, they dribbled it out with a minute 30. I don't even know how that was, like, they didn't shoot. Oh, it drives me crazy. but they'll win.
You know what? The good news is at least the Celtics aren't going to be the one driving you crazy, as they likely are getting ready to head on to the next round. All right, time to finish off the show the way we always do. This, that, the third. Three quick stories to send you into the rest of the day. Make sure you download, subscribe, rate, review us. Leave us a five-star rating and check us out here live Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the DraftKings Network. If you miss us there, catch the best of Gojo and Golic from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern on the radio, wherever you hear VSiN. And if you miss any of that even, or our great guest, thank you to Harry Douglas, former NFL wide receiver, ESPN radio host, and draft analyst from this last weekend, stopping by to help us break down the Atlanta Falcons draft choices, and the NFL Network's Ian Rappaport for stopping by for some NFL news and notes, especially this wide receiver market that could be getting ready to pop off any day now. If you missed any of that, check it out wherever you get your podcasts, or available right here as soon as we get done on YouTube. And guys, let's start off with this. One of the other images seared into my head off draft weekend had nothing to do with anything in Detroit or any of the teams there. No, no, no. It was David Tepper, the Carolina Panthers, very hands-on owner, apparently deciding to get hands-on with a patron at a restaurant. David Tepper drove by a sign at a Carolina restaurant called the Dilworth Neighborhood Grill that out front on one of those big message boards had written, "Please let the coach and GM pick this year," in reference to David Tepper being the one largely driving the wheel behind the Bryce Young acquisition last year at number one overall. And so Tepper did the very normal person thing and stopped in the restaurant to ask them who was responsible for this sign. Now, Dan, apparently the same restaurant had put up a sign last year in reference to David Tepper saying, "Meddling owners never win, run from Jerry Jones." And Tepper had apparently not liked that one. But Dad, where are you at on this? I find this, which should be behavior way beneath someone of his stature. This is way too thin-skinned for someone with that bank account and this kind of control over the team, and reeks of someone who's been hearing a lot of what's been said about the way he's mishandled this situation so far.
Mike, isn't this the guy who poured a drink on a fan as well? I mean,
yeah,
come on.
It's on brand.
I mean, this guy, he's unbelievably thin-skinned. And in all honesty, he doesn't know how to own and run a team. He doesn't. So that sign was right. Let Canales and let Dan Morgan make the picks, because all you do is fire people too quickly and start the cycle over again. You have a history of that. It's not a one-time thing. Look in the mirror at why, you know, if there's some failure going on here, but he can't accept that because he seems to be one of those guys, the more money he has, the smarter he thinks he is, and he's just not. I mean, the best thing to do is hire football people to take care of the football situations.
What this restaurant should do is put up a sign now that says Tepper soft. Like, just keep putting stuff up that's going to piss this guy off, because what is he going to do about it?
I mean, just keep going. You're right. At this point, that's the only option that you have here. And I think it's interesting because the restaurant, the people said that he was pretty cordial during this interaction for the most part, but we had the security cam footage where he took off the dude's hat because he was wearing an Eagles hat in the restaurant also. And I saw a lot of people commenting that anyone touching another man like that would be ground. Like, this is clearly someone in David Tepper who's never had his ass kicked in life, yada, yada, yada. If any of you would actually be the ones brave enough to swing on a billionaire with that kind of power, who's displayed the kind of short temper that David Tepper's behaved, you're better than me, because that's one of those ones I think you got to assess the situation a little bit and understand hands might not be your best option in that situation. But none of this is advisable. This is a guy who was clearly trying to go in here and use his presence to sort of bully tactics here in a way that, hey, when you sign up to own the team, man, this is part of what comes with the territory. We talk about this from the athlete perspective all the time. It doesn't give you grounds to be inhumane in your criticism, but I also don't think this crossed any lines in terms of that. And so what we have instead is what Dad pointed out. Another item on the ledger of David Tepper going out here and responding poorly in his stint as the owner of the Carolina Panthers. So we've got that for this, and now it's time to get to this for that, Claudia, as we have got Nate Tice out here doing the Lord's sicko work ahead of the next upcoming 2025 NFL draft.
Yeah, so his projections are very off from the odds over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Yes, the 2024 NFL draft just ended, but we have the odds for next season. Colorado's Shedeur Sanders, even money to go number one overall. Georgia's Carson Beck at 3-1 behind him. Texas's Quinn Ewers at 3-1 as well. And then Penn State's Drew Aller at plus 850. But Gojo, you were saying Sanders is nowhere to be found on his list?
Yeah, so Nate Tice, great, you know, football analyst over at The Athletic and Yahoo Sports. We've had on the show here plenty. He put out his top 25 big board. And yeah, the first quarterback off on the big board here, and there are only two that he lists inside the first round, former Duke quarterback, now Notre Dame quarterback, Riley Leonard. Nate knows ball. He's got him and Carson Beck as the quarterbacks there. Shedeur Sanders, not in his top 25 list of prospects, Dad, that skews very heavily, pun fully intended, towards beef at the top of this draft. Not one, but two of the LSU offensive tackles inside the first round, led by Will Campbell, who's second on his board.
So, yeah, again, this is his top 25 prospects, not obviously draft order. You have to wait to see what the team's needs are. You go ahead and talk about the beef. Sure, why not? I'm going to talk about the fact that his first 12 prospects are on the defensive side of the ball and three on the offense. The three on the offense, by the way, are offensive tackles. The others are basically edge rushers and cornerbacks. You know, because as we saw, edge rushers go down a little bit, cornerbacks not go till the 20s, but he seems to think that would be a little more full in those two classes, in those two positions for this year's draft. We'll wait and see, but I thought it was surprising that Shedeur Sanders, we all, you know, were kind of putting him, Quinn Ewers, we didn't see Quinn Ewers in there as well, that those two would be talked about as the top two quarterbacks coming out. So we'll have to wait and see what's said about that.
For Notre Dame fans wondering, Benjamin Morrison, 12th on Nate's big board right now, the all-everything corner in South Bend. I did think it was interesting. Stud. People are going to focus on Shedeur Sanders because odds books have him as the favorite for the number one overall pick right now, which I agree is way too rich for my taste. I think the even more interesting one is that in Nate's top 25, Travis Hunter isn't the first or second defensive back off the board. The two-way star player for Colorado that obviously dealt with some injury this last year. But you look, Will Johnson, the cornerback out of Michigan, long and strong there, the first DB off the board. And then he actually has Malachi Starks, the safety out of Georgia, as the next best player in the secondary out there before you get to Travis Hunter as his 11th best prospect in this class. So very interesting read for a Colorado team and a couple of players that got a lot of fanfare there. And Nate, a card-carrying sicko. I appreciate it. There's some studs on this list, by the way. Mykael Williams is the player, the defensive end, the edge rusher out of Georgia that he has as the number one overall prospect and kind of the same book as a lot of the other recent number one or top overall picks out of Georgia. It's about the tools, not necessarily the stats that we've seen right now. Let's get to the third. That being said, Claudia, no stats, just vibes here from the Minnesota Twins who have taken celebrations to a very beefy new height.
No stats, just sausage. The Twins are on a 7-game win streak and... they're not going to be getting rid of a sausage anytime soon because of it. Let me explain. So infielder Kyle Farmer left a sausage on the table in the clubhouse. So the hitting coach brought it into the dugout last week when they were facing the White Sox. Keep in mind, the White Sox. So the Twins ended up sweeping them in the 4-game set, scored 25 runs in the series. And they're saying it's because of the sausage in the dugout. Not because the White Sox are one of the worst teams in baseball. Not because they have a 5-10 team ERA. No, it's because of the sausage. So now they use it. They touch it before they go up at bat. They use it in their home run celebration. Dudes being dudes, I guess. They're a little stitious. It's a fun story, but they need to get rid of that because I don't think that'll last long.
I think, Mike, that as long as they're successful, it's going to be a sausage fest.
There we go. He's been waiting all morning for it, folks. That man held the dad joke of the day in for 2 hours almost before finally letting it out here. I'm proud of your restraint. Yeah. I can't say I'm surprised by any of this. And I actually, it's a joke that I was probably going to make if you didn't. So thank you for being the one to fall on that sword. Rocco Baldelli, their manager, did underscore, I think, the one big concern here is this is sausage inside one of those sealed plastic casing, and they're throwing this thing around. Like, I saw a celebration the other day, guys coming over to the dugout, and it's getting tossed.
eventually the casing is going to be compromised. And when that happens,
right,
there is going to be some spillage. There's going to be a lot of juice in there. I'd imagine everything is going to hell inside that casing because, like Claudia said, it is out there, it is in the sun, and it is not being cooked or refrigerated properly as the instructions would mandate. So Minnesota playing a dangerous game. That being said, I can't help but support it. You're always going to be have us on your side when you've got beef on your side. So welcome to the Minnesota Sausage Party. We are excited to join you guys for this journey and see how far you can take this particular link here. We're excited to see how much this show you can take each and every day. If you do enjoy it, as always, make sure you download, subscribe, rate, review us, and leave us that 5-star rating. Thank you guys so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.